Couple verses I have chosen to share with you bring out the importance of light in our lives. These verses relate to our next speaker's presentation. I'll be reading from the book of John. In chapter 8, verse 12, John records, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk into the darkness, but shall have the light of the life." John chapter 9, verse 5. "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." John chapter 3, verse 19. "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." John chapter 5, verse 35. "He was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light."
Next speaker will share with you how darkness affects our lives. We stated 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in face of Jesus Christ." 1 John chapter 2, verse 8, "Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth." 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, "Then this is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all."
Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to thank you all for coming out tonight to listen to us and showing your support for everyone. If you will, please turn your Bibles, if you have them, to Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. This is mostly where I'll be coming from today. I'll share this passage with you, but I'll be reading from the King James Version, so it's going to be a little wordy. "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now, if we look closer at Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, God tells us that we are supposed to be the salt of the earth. Well, what necessarily does this mean? The Webster Dictionary definition of salt states that salt is used especially to season food or to preserve it. Now, have you ever eaten a meal without salt? What does it taste like? It's bland, isn't it? Tastes like you're eating a piece of cardboard. Now, every meal that I've eaten has had salt because I love it. It tastes good. It makes the meal taste good. It adds seasoning to the meal and flavor. Now, why does the book of Matthew use this metaphor? Why are we to be the salt of the earth? Well, us Christians, we are supposed to be the seasoning and, if you will, the flavor of the earth. Without us Christians in the world, it would be bland. It would be tasteless. The world would just be a metaphorical piece of cardboard that nobody wants anything to do with. Now, if you go down to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, it says that we are to be the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Now, you've all been in a situation where you've been in a room, and it's just completely dark. You wave your hand in front of your face, and you can't even see it. But you all know that somebody's phone goes off or somebody just turns on a small flashlight, maybe one running low on batteries. It's dim. But it lights up that room from wall to wall, letting everybody be able to see what they're doing. Now, this is the same thing as the world. The world is a dark and sinful place. Nobody really knows what they're doing. But us Christians, we are to be the light of the world. We are to be doing right and doing what God wants us to do. And our light, if we are doing what God wants us to do, cannot be hidden from the world. Just like a city set upon a hill cannot be hidden from those around it. Matthew 15 pretty much just tells us the same thing. Well, Matthew 16, why does God use the word light? Matthew 16 says, to let our light shine before men, so they may see our good works to glorify our Father. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't see very well in the dark. Now, if the world was without Christians, it would be dark, and no one would be able to see God's works. That is why we are to shine our light inside of us, Jesus Christ, out onto the world to glorify God's works in heaven. But how do we shine our light? The Bible tells us what we're supposed to do, but it's not very good at telling us how we're supposed to do it. Now, we can shine our light by doing all of the little things that God tells us to do. Well, Cole, what does God tell us to do? What are the little things that we are supposed to do to shine our light in this world? Well, it's just the simple things, along with being a Christian. Sharing a smile with someone, for instance. Now, you've had a long day at work. Your supervisor was riding you hard, and you just had a crummy day. You're stuck in 5 o'clock traffic, rush hour, on your way home from work, traffic's backed up, and you know you're not going to be able to get home for another hour. You turn over, and the guy sitting next to you is blaring music that you don't like, just getting on your nerves even more. Well, you look to your left, and you see one of your coworkers, and you know that he's had twice a rough day as you, a bigger workload, and his supervisor rode him harder than you. But he looks over at you, and he manages to crack a smile. He waves at you, and it just lights you up inside, because you know that even how bad of a day he's had, twice as worse as you, he is still able to share a smile with you and show that everything is going to be all right. Now, another thing could be just holding a door open for someone, a coworker, even here at church. And then visiting a friend that's sick. Show them that you care. Show them that you care enough to drive to their house and visit them while they're shut in and not able to do anything. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. If a newfound Christian, brand new baptized, came to me and he said, Cole, what do I do as a Christian? What am I supposed to do? The first passage that I would show them would be this passage right here. This passage gives a bland overview of what we are supposed to be as Christians. The salt of the earth, the light of the earth. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. Now I have one question for you before I leave. Are you letting your light shine to glorify your Father in heaven?
Chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. John chapter 4, verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. John chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him.
I think of God's love. I think of a perfect love. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God has shown man from the beginning that he is the one and only true love for mankind. 1 John states, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. There's a story I read about a golden box that makes me think of how we often treat God's love for us. In the story, a father had just gotten home from a stressful day at work. Lately at work, hours had been cut, money was short, and patience was thin. As the father sat down, he noticed a hardly wrapped box that someone had obviously used the entire roll of nice gold wrapping paper on. It was obvious to him that his 5-year-old son had been wasteful and inconsiderate in his use of the nice wrapping paper. As the wide-eyed 5-year-old was eagerly running to his father wanting to share a surprise that he had, the father stopped him abruptly, scolding him for what he had done, and sent him away with tears in the boy's eyes. Later that night after dinner, the little boy sheepishly came up to his father with the gold box and held it out carefully. As he told his father he had wrapped a special Christmas gift for him all by himself, and wanted the father to open it because it would make him feel better. The father felt a twinge of guilt for the manner that he had spoken with the child earlier. The father, to his frustration, only saw an empty box and became very irritated and once again scolded the little boy for giving out presents that had nothing inside. The little boy gently looked into the father's eyes and said, "But there is something inside. I blew kisses for you into the box, and the box is full of them for any time you need one." The father was grieved with his failure in seeing his son's love. His child had demonstrated to him the unconditional love that he knew he had not earned but been given by the child's grace. Too often do we allow the world to harden our hearts and scold God for our trials instead of recognizing the ways that he is showing us his mercy and love, not by our deserving, but by his everlasting love. In thinking of God's unconditional love for us, we must ask ourselves how we are showing him our love. John 14:21-23 makes this clear. "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And if anyone loves me, he will keep my word." I want each one of us to picture ourselves as a wrapped gift of love that we are giving to God. Would you dare present yourself as a wrapped box with tattered and worn paper, with tape piecing it together, and a bow that keeps falling off? Or would you take special pride and care in using your nicest paper with a beautiful bow and ribbons? If we are looking through our earthly eyes and thinking of how it will look with all the other wrapped gifts, it would be hard not to let earthly pride focus on how marvelous we look and how we are the best wrapped gift that anyone has ever seen. All too often, we measure ourselves as how others measure us, and we fall short in the sight of God. After all the effort of wrapping our gift to God, how much time do we have left for what was in our box? It is a human weakness of focusing on external flaws that allows Satan to waste our time on worldly goals so that we do not have time to fill our box with love for God. Only when we put our focus on filling our box with the works of following God's commands do we truly show the love to God that he deserves. No matter how shiny we make our box on the outside, God teaches us that true love comes from acts of love and doing his word. Notice that I said doing, which implies the actual works and not just empty words. So I ask each one of us to consider what our box looks like, and more importantly, what will God find inside our box when the day comes for him to open our gift?
Father and daughter were out at sea in a storm and near a dangerous coast. The mother lighted a lamp and started up the worn stairway to the attic window. "It won't do any good, mother," the son called after. But the mother went up, put the light in the window, knelt beside it, and prayed. Out in the storm, the daughter saw a glimmer of light near the water's edge. "Steer for that," the father said. Slowly but steadily, they came towards the light and at last were anchored in a small sheltered harbor next to the cottage. Life can be compared to a tempted sea with rocks and shoals along the way. God must have looked down at mankind's plight and decided to shine forth a light for safety. He sent his son from heaven to earth to lead us safely to a sheltered harbor on the eternal shores. When Jesus came, it was so dark and humanity was so lost. The light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. John 3:19. However, this darkness did not stop Jesus from presenting himself as a light. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have everlasting light." John 8:12. This heavenly light of Jesus offers our only hope for safety from the stormy seas of life, but it must be accepted. The father and daughter had to steer towards the light to be saved, and for safety, we must also have an active faith in Jesus. "I have come as a light into the world, and whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." John 12:46. One must not stop in simply believing that Jesus is the light, but must believe in him until a point of doing so. The father and daughter could have believed that the glimmer of light was coming from home, but would have drowned beneath the angry sea and if they had not believed and steered towards it. In the words of Jesus, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Have you responded to this light to save you from sin? There is only one way to come to this light. One must come with a believing, penitent heart, confessing Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of God, and be baptized. This puts one in a Christ where spiritual light is found. Have you seen this light, but have never steered towards it? Never obeyed? Or have you left this light and turned back into darkness? As we stand and sing, you are invited to respond to this all-important light.